Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
From the practice field to your radio, Clint Sterner joins the show now. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you on a Football Friday. We'll hear from Deshaun Watson live very shortly. But Clint, you got your first taste of a little Texans practice preparing for the 2020 season. 20 days away from the season opener. What stuck out the most to you from what you observed?
Texas heat ain't no joke, baby. 9:30, it was already hot out there. You know, it was a situational day and a special teams day. And so, you know, with that in mind, very impressed with Bill O'Brien's ability to coach the details of the game. I'm the only coach I've ever been around that's that detailed, which it doesn't surprise me that Bill O'Brien, I think he spent some time, obviously, with Belichick, which is spent some time with Parcells. But Bill Parcells is the only coach, it's far and away, that is that detailed in situational football, and today was a big day for that, and there's no doubt about it. Bill O'Brien is knee-deep in setting up the situations. He's knee-deep in coaching multiple positions. The only position I didn't see him coach today was the quarterbacks. But just one of those days where it was blatantly obvious that the details matter to him. Yeah. The situational football is important. Now, whether that unfolds on game day with management and things of that nature and handling the situations right, who knows? But the team will be prepared for every single situation that's possible in a football game. Another thing.
Let me stop you real quick on that. Because I feel like what you just said is huge.
Yeah.
I really do. What's our biggest gripe with Bill O'Brien over the years? Game management, time management.
Yep.
He's not calling the plays anymore. He's not on the field with the practice game plan, the practice script, if you will. Sean was telling, he's like saying, all right, 30 seconds left, got to do this. I mean, just actual, you know, detailed situations. To me, that's really big for this club that he's doing that.
There's definitely room for improvement there, right? When you talk about how it relates to in-game management and how you handle timeouts, how you handle fake punts, how you handle field goal versus going for it. There's obvious room for improvement there, and you got to think that this move for Bill O'Brien will help him in that aspect of things, man. Guys, I think that what we saw today or what I saw today, you guys saw it last year. It's nothing new. Bill O'Brien is a very, very detail-oriented guy when it comes to practice. But people ask all the time, well, how do they win? How do you win 11 games? How do you consistently win divisions? And most of the time we're talking about, well, I've seen enough. You know, can you do more than that? Can you win the big one? Yeah. Can you get to the championship? And I understand that aspect of it. But a big part of how you win 11 and how you create a base to where you expect to win double digits, you expect to win the division, you're always in the running for the division, is things like that. Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, I've been with organizations, with coaches that are still coaching today now. So this ain't nothing, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Coaches that are still coaching today that they had problems communicating with each other. The O-line coach and the quarterback coach didn't communicate, so the quarterback's on his back half the game. And so to think that every team does that is just, it's just false. And so it's a big-time advantage, man, no question.
Sterner, what else you got?
Clint Sterner here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, I think the inability last year, I think it was awful last year, the inability of this group, skill group, to create separation when Fuller wasn't there. Even Hopkins was not he didn't create separation. That's how he played the game. And so it was defenses could suffocate this offense last year when Fuller was out. We all witnessed it. It's never been more apparent than what Baltimore did to the Houston Texans. And I'm convinced after seeing those guys today move that creating separation is not going to be a problem. Clearly one of the best in the game at creating separation from the slots, Randall Cobb. And he, the way it's beautiful to watch him work, even in a a 75% pace type of practice. Just him create setting up defensive backs, crossing their face, swim, you know, just speed cutting over the top and creating that 3 to 3.5 yard separation. That's big for Deshaun, and that'll be a consistent. David Johnson had a ton of catches today. Duke Johnson had several touches today. And those guys, their ability to just create opportunities for Deshaun Watson to have throws in the ocean, it's apparent, man. It's that problem should not exist. Assuming Bill O'Brien and Tim Kelly take care of the creative scheming aspect of it, man, finding guys that can create separation should not be a problem. I don't think Kenny Stills is a guy that you look at and you go, yeah, he's going to be great at creating separation. He's a good three, good four, great complement, great package guy. But I don't think you want to jump him into the starting role and go, hey, man, you got to go create separation versus a number one corner in this league. That's just not going to happen. Now, and that's what you were dependent on last year when Fuller was out.
Right.
Now you've got a handful of guys outside of Fuller, outside of Kenny Stills, that, man, they have a knack for creating separation.
When you see this receiving group in person, talking to Clint Sterner straight from the practice field to the radio here 20 days away from Texans versus Chiefs, do they look small, though? I mean, you're talking about fast. Does this receiving group look a little bit small? And is that concerning? Do you think size is overrated when it comes to receivers?
Man, I think it just depends on what Tim Kelly and Bill O'Brien do. I mean, I think if you're a great schemer, I don't think it makes a hill of beans. It don't matter at all. What's my man McVay out with the Rams? He don't give a damn how big you are.
Right.
I mean, he's gonna create opportunities for you. I mean, there's just it depends on what they do with them. And so if we become concerned with those situations, it's because teams are able to man up on them, get real physical on them at the line of scrimmage. And I just don't see that being a problem, guys. I mean, you got five monsters up front that can protect Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
If protection becomes a problem where a team's blitzing a lot, you bring Fails in, you get David Johnson, keep those two guys in pass protection, you still got three guys that can go and really stretch the field. I just don't see the way this team's set up. I don't see defenses, for the most part. It may happen once or twice here.
Sure.
But I don't see defenses consistently being able to put this offense in a position where they can – man up outside, lock down for a second and a half, 2 seconds, and the defense get to Deshaun Watson. I just don't know how – I can't see how that becomes a problem because they're so fast across the board. They got so many weapons coming out of the backfield. If that does happen, it's 100% on Deshaun Watson or Tim Kelly, one of the two.
I know it was shells when you were out there, but you've been keeping up with it through Sean Pendergast's eyes just like the rest of us. But did you see anything defensively? Now, to forget the offense for a second, defensively, we all talk, and nobody is asking anyone to, you know, hey, give us this set they're running. But just in terms of the abstract, do you feel like Anthony Weaver is going to have that different stamp?
You know, I didn't see much today, to be honest with you, in a sense of that. I don't even remember, to be honest with you, the only time I remember Anthony Weaver being brought up, Show looked down at me and goes, hey, man, where's Anthony Weaver? I've never seen him. He wasn't the situational aspect of today was a lot of, you know, hey, we're down.
Let the offense work.
Well, no, it was all the situational stuff, like the Hail Mary situations. Mm-hmm. You know, there's 4 seconds left in the game, 5 seconds left in the game. It's 4th and 4. You're up 3. What are you going to do? The 8-second play. Quarterback drops back, throws as high as he can out of bounds. Those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, the defense is more of just a scout team defense. There wasn't a lot of competition. So, today I didn't see what he called – Bill O'Brien he really kept emphasizing up front, guys, this is an OTA tempo. You know, everybody stay up. We're in shells. Don't do anything stupid. And so really to see that doesn't bode well for an aggressive defense. So they piped down quite a bit on the defensive side of the football. One thing I will say I saw again, it jumped off the practice field last year to me. Bradley Roby is – I don't know what the hell he's ever going to be. I don't know if he's going to be a Pro Bowler. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know if he's going to ever live up to his ceiling and all the hype. But I'm going to tell you, man, that the dude is skilled. I mean, it's effortless for him to jump off the field as an elite athlete in that world. And he's out there with Kenny Stills and Brandon Cooks and all these guys. It's just his athletic ceiling and the explosiveness, the twitch, the ability to jump, the burst, all that stuff is just so much higher than everybody you see him run with that I can't help but get excited about him in general in terms of can this guy be a legitimate lockdown one corner in this league or is he going to be a fringe 2-1-2 guy?
Is he going to break through?
Yeah, man. I mean, he's It's not a skill problem. He broke on a ball and picked off Deshaun Watson today, and it was just one of those where he read a dig route that Kenny Stills was running, and he just undercut it. And again, it's a 75% max shell practice, but just the level of ease that he handled, that he breaks on routes and he undercuts routes and he avoids contact and he catches a rock and burst out of the catch. It's just impressive.
Clint Sterner live from practice to your radio here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. How did Show handle that Texas heat, man? I'm worried about my man.
We had the 6-foot rule, so I didn't get to talk to him too much about it. I hadn't been in there yet to see how that heat.
That's
treated.
His first taste right there.
Yeah. Well, we were over underneath somewhat in the shade. I stepped down to get me a better.
That
view
don't
of
matter.
The offense. Yeah, it didn't turn it down much. I stepped down to get me a better view of the offense, man, and got out in the heat of the sun, direct sunlight a little bit, and it started beating.
How about
on me,
Deshaun wearing sweatpants and a hoodie?
Yeah. Big tonsil hat on, long sleeves.
What are they thinking, man?
Trying to get that
and
sweat.
And I like the heat. Getting I like sweat. The sweat.
Getting that water weight off, man.
My
he must have goodness. A little beach vacation coming up pretty soon. Well,
we saw the video. I'm like, what are you doing? And I like the heat. Yeah. But, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I get it. Sometimes you got to run in the hoodie, dude.
I know you don't.
I did it because I'm a chunky water weight guy. So I was trying to get that beer from the night before out. I don't think Deshaun Watson's got those problems, so I'm not real sure what the hell he was thinking.
Clint, appreciate you.
Yeah,
man.
You bet, man. Thank
jealous
you, guys.
Jealous of you. Jealous of you getting to go out there, man. Very jealous of you. It's a great time to be alive. 20 days, John. 20 days. And you're going to have the best player, most exciting player in baseball on your TV tonight. Could have LeBron James versus the Rockets for the first time ever next week. And it's just it's a good time to be alive. Deshaun Watson with that hoodie and the sweatpants on. That seems to really impress you, John.
It does impress me. I mean, born and raised in this heat, and I like running the heat. We've talked about it. I like that feeling of, you know, sweating a lot. I sweat a lot anyway. But I ain't going to wear no hoodie and sweatpants out there. That's for dang sure.
That's probably a wise decision. The one thing Bill O'Brien needs to be doing right now, a think tank, and we're going to go live and hear from Deshaun Watson next.
Texans training camp is happening now. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
The one thing Bill O'Brien must be doing right now. We'll get to that in 15 minutes. Also, a little think tank. Start your statement with I think that. 713-572-4610. 20 days away from Texans versus Chiefs. Practice going on right now. We got boots on the sand. Let's go live out there and hear from Deshaun Watson right now, the quarterback of your Houston Texans.
Now that you've had another week with your new guys, Cooks, Cobb, and David Johnson, could you talk about what you like about each one of them and what kind of on-field rapport you're developing with them?
The chemistry is coming on well. We've been building that all summer. And then from the past week, those guys, I mean, each guy's a veteran guy, so they see different things. They understand the football IQ is very high. And those guys make plays. And that's the biggest thing that we wanted, you know, from each one of our guys to come in and do their job and produce as veteran and all pros. And that's what they've been, you know, bringing to this team, a different type of energy that you know, we've seen in the previous years.
Deshaun, a couple of your teammates have talked about how if you make a mistake in practice that you don't do it again. What is it about the way that you learn and the way that you practice that allows that to be the case?
I've always had that mentality since I've been little. I've just learned that over the years from different coaching staff and just my mindset, you know, growing up where I'm from. So I just kind of always had that. And regardless, I try to learn from other people's mistakes. And if I, you know, make an MA, I made sure that, you know, I kind of correct that because a lot of eyes is on me. I control what I can do out there on the field and everyone is following. So as far and as good as I go as a quarterback, that's how far and as good the team is going to go. So I got to have that mentality each and every practice, each and every day.
How are you?
I'm good. You?
So I'm fine. Thank you. So what did you think when you saw Bill doing the push-ups and having to do a couple of them one-handed to boot?
Yeah, I mean, that's his way of course, if he, you know, call a wrong period. I know today was a big situational day. So, he had the ends, I guess, mixed up on which way we're going to the end zone. But, that's his way of just kind of, okay, you know, he messed up and, you know, he's knocking his push-ups on and let's lob back in.
You had a chance to do a Zoom with some kids from the Boys and Girls Club after practice. How cool was that? How much did you enjoy doing that?
it's always good to be able to share my advice and say what's up to some kids that look up to me, because I was in their shoes years ago. And for me, you know, to have the opportunity when I was younger with the Falcons, you know, now, you know, they have the opportunity in their city with the Texans. And for me to be one of those guys, I knew it changed my life and helped me, you know, motivate me to continue to fulfill my dreams and goals and life.
Writing a book this off season, what did that mean to you to become an author? And what were some of the things that you wanted to get across in that book?
Yeah, it means a lot. I mean, it was something that it wasn't high on my bucket list, but it was definitely something on my bucket list. As I learned when I was in, you know, college at Clemson University. And for me to be able to just share my testimony in a different perspective, different way for people to, you know, for me to reach different people across the world. Was awesome. And then, you know, over the leadership things, everything that I learned through high school and through college, you know, learning from Coach Sweeney, I just wanted to apply that in the book and share that. Because every time I, you know, do an event or appearance, a lot of people would say, you know, once they hear my story, they, you know, learn so much from it. So for me to be able to put it in words and for it to cross the, you know, the globe is definitely my goal. And that's what I want to do with it.
And to follow up, I see that you've become a big soccer fan. And a little bit about that, about we've seen a lot of social media with you supporting that soccer team.
Yeah, FC Bayern Munich. That's my team. That's a family. We got some big things coming up in the future. And, you know, supporting them in the Champions League. They got a big one championship game against Paris. I think it's Sunday. So definitely be tuning in with that. And, you know, sending my best wishes and good luck to all the players out there and to the bros that I know on that team and everyone. In that football club.
Sean, I wondered if you could talk about your tight end group and what each guy kind of brings to the table with their different skill sets.
Yeah, I mean it's a big group that each one of those guys definitely can do a lot of different things. But they all are very dynamic and make big plays and can help this team, help especially this offense, take it to a whole another level. And to have a big group like that who all support each other and who want the best for each other and who it don't matter who's in the game or who's in practice, they all, you know, make sure that they set their standards very, very high. And they all can do a lot of different things, line up side, outside, inside, block, catch, receive, do it all. So, you know, each guy's been, you know, bringing, coming along and, you know, gaining experience and gaining reps as we continue to push forward.
Sean, what is satisfying to you about using the mental side of your game to beat opponents? And how is that satisfaction maybe a little bit different than it is when you pull off one of these incredible feats like the Raiders game or San Diego, or pardon me, the Chargers game last year?
There's always room to improve, especially on the mental side, just kind of making sure that, you know, you see different things on film. I'm always each and every week, each and every practice, try to gain so much information where I can do different little techniques and details on reading defenses. You know, sometimes they win, sometimes I win, but I always try to, you know, make sure that's majority of the game. And then after that, I just let my athletic ability and my IQ and just kind of reacting, my gut feeling just take over and just play football. And that's a lot of the, you know, a lot of the time being, but I guess a lot of the mental part is pre-snap. And then right when I get the ball, then after that, I just react and play football.
A number of your teammates and even coaches have talked about how much more comfortable you look this year and how much you seem to have grown in just your understanding of the offense. What about for you personally? Where do you think that you've seen the most improvement from last year to this year in camp so far?
My confidence has continued to grow. The leadership, the knowledge of the offense, what we want to do as a whole has been simplified for me. Just because it's year four for me. So having that comfortability and having that confidence on exactly what we've been learning over the past 3 years, now getting into my year four, you know, and being with Tim, spending a whole year last year on his mindset and what he's thinking. And now he's a play caller, you know, now having that, you know, we've been on the same page and I already know before, you know, each situation what he's thinking. So we're on the same page. So I think that's the next step that I've been taking with him and it's been good.
Hey, Deshaun, I know some of this will come in your book that's coming up, but I know how important faith is to you in a sense. But do you feel that you have like a higher calling in a sense, or that there's a destiny in where you're going to go and what you're trying to do that might even be bigger than football?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, football has definitely opened my eyes and it's the main priority right now. But you know, football is only can last so long. So what can I do outside of football? How can I use this platform that the Lord had put me in to be able to share and touch other people across the world? Because, you know, of course, everyone wants to be legendary and be remembered forever, especially after their football time. And hopefully I can continue to build my name and my brand for that to happen. But, you know, after I'm done with football, I definitely want to be able to, you know, travel the world and, you know, continue to inspire people and motivate people and use my platform and testimony and the things that I accomplished in this football time to be able to, you know, help other people's lives and continue to grow this world and make it a better place.
Along the lines of those accomplishments, where does a Super Bowl or winning a Super Bowl fit into that?
That's top priority. Yeah, that's for sure. I'm trying to pull a big three. I won a state championship, won a national championship. So, of course, I'm trying to get a Super Bowl. I mean, I'm trying to, of course, be legendary. That's my word since college. And for me to be that, you know, I have to, you know, win a Super Bowl and definitely win it, you know, with the Houston Texans. You know, we never won one here before. We haven't even came on the brink of winning one. We got to get to that game before that. And then, of course, we can think about that. But, I'm trying to, you know, create history and continue that and make it a dynasty.
Deshaun, music question here. What are some of your favorite tapes from this year? I know Atlanta had quite a few tapes that came out this year between Gunna and Future. What's in your headphones this year?
Yeah, I mean, I got a lot of stuff. I'm on Gunna. I'm on that little baby. His deluxe album came out. Gunna Deluxe, Young Thug, Derez Deshaun, Rod Wave. Sauce Walker, Travis Scott. I mean, I have my playlist and my Spotify is crazy right now. So it just depends on what vibe. I can even go to the party next door. I mean, it just goes down the line. So for me, I just kind of, it depends on what vibe I want, what energy I'm trying to, you know, sink into. And then I just throw it on. I listen to everything.
I know that Brandon Dunn has a lot to do with the music that gets played in the locker room.
Yeah.
Are you a part-time DJ too? Like, how does that dynamic work?
No, I let Dunny and those, the D-linemen take control of that. I let them, but they know the vibes and know the energy of what we want in the locker room, and they switch it up a lot, so they keep us, you know, going. It's a lot of Money Man on there, so, you know, I like Money Man and big fan of Money Man, so, you know, we play that a lot. I have my suggestions, but, you know, I have my own little music thing in my locker too, in case they're not playing it and I turn the vibes up. So I'm secondary DJ.
Last one for John.
Deshaun, you mentioned about trying to win a Super Bowl here and becoming legendary. What is one thing you believe you need to do better this season to put you in position to do that?
Be more detailed and just trim down the MEs and the mental errors. And if we can do that, and of course stay healthy, that's a big key. I feel like we can have the opportunity. In that last game against the Chiefs, you know, we started off right and continuing, but once we hit that wall and they got the momentum, we got to continue to flip that momentum and learn how to do that. It was a lot of games last year where we couldn't do that. Baltimore, Denver, Kansas City, three games right there where if we can stop that momentum and get back in the game, who knows how those games turned out and what we could have did in it. So, just the mental errors and the little details being very and stopping the momentum of the other team. Just focus on the next play would be fine.
It's Deshaun Watson live from training camp. We're going to hear from Zach Cunningham as well. And speaking of Zach Cunningham, there's something Bill O'Brien needs to do right now. It should be top priority for King Bill. I'll tell you what that is, and we'll have a little think tank. 713-572-4610. Great time to be alive. Tell us what you think next.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 Oi! Presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker. Drill!
Figgy, that's Sauce Walker?
Yep.
The one thing that Bill O'Brien should be doing right now, trying to sign Zach Cunningham long term. Deshaun Watson's not going anywhere. Deshaun Watson still has a year after this year under his rookie deal. They picked up that fifth year option.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going anywhere. Zach Cunningham, if you let this play out, is going to be an unrestricted free agent along with Will Fuller,
And if both of these guys have good years, you might have to decide which one you're going to franchise tag.
Yeah.
You can't afford for that to happen. And we talk about all the attention the Texans have paid to the offense. You can't year after year after year keep letting guys on the defensive side of the ball leave like you did Jadeveon Clowney last year and like you did DJ Reader this year. Mm-hmm. Zach Cunningham is the next big thing on this defense, and Bill O'Brien needs to get that job done sooner rather than later. That should be the first priority on King Bill's long list of tasks. Sign Zach Cunningham, lock him up, and don't lose another piece of this defense for the third straight offseason.
I disagree with the first priority. I do think it should, you know, because the priority is, hey, Deshaun, what do you want? What can I get you? Would you like some coffee? Would you like a new hoodie? I mean, you got to take care of the guy who's going to take you however far he takes you. But your point about, you know, maybe prioritizing right now, you have to prioritize Deshaun Watson, get him what he wants, but it's going to be a tougher negotiation. You can sign Zach Cunningham today. You know, sure, there's going to be some dollar figures that, you know, are a little bit different, but you can hammer it out. You can say, you know what, let's go into this room. We'll sit across the table and we'll get it done. You can do that today with Zach Cunningham. And that's what I'm saying. Just get it done. Just get it done. Figure it out. Because your defense, as much as important as Deshaun Watson is, and keeping him happy is a priority, and keeping him here for a long, long time is a priority, your defense collapses without Zach Cunningham in the middle. And an unhappy Zach Cunningham, I don't want an unhappy Zach Cunningham.
Of all the extensions Bill O'Brien's given, I don't necessarily think that I don't think they're very good extensions. I don't think the Whitney Merciless extension was necessary. I thought that I cannot see any way that Whitney Merciless gets that deal if he hits the market. That seemed a little bit obnoxious to me.
It was.
And the fact that there's $14 million guaranteed next year is an eye-opener. The Nick Martin extension, we were like, what is going on here? Why is Nick Martin getting this extension? What has Nick Martin exactly done to be one of the highest-paid centers in the league? Of all of the extensions that BOB has handed out, this is the one that makes the most sense.
Yes.
And this is the one that you have to make happen. Because I think Bill O'Brien, I'm just reading between the lines here. I think one of the biggest disagreements between Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain, and I think it's a big part of why Brian Gain isn't here, and this is just my opinion, is letting Tyrann Mathieu go. Because Bill O'Brien was very vocal about wanting Tyrann Mathieu. He wanted Tyrann Mathieu back, and the Kansas City Chiefs swooped in and they got Tyrann Mathieu. I don't think Tyrann Mathieu was a fit here. I think he was just they just used him as a safety, and I think he found his ideal situation in Kansas City. And I think Tyrann Mathieu is a better player in Kansas City than he would have been here. But I know that Bill O'Brien wanted Tyrann Mathieu and wanted to keep him here. Brian Gain did not do contracts during the season. Bill O'Brien last year with Nick Martin, he was willing to do that. With Whitney Merciless, he was willing to do that. I think letting Tyrann Mathieu go is one of the biggest disagreements they had. And I think letting Zach Cunningham go would be an even bigger mistake, because unlike Tyrann Mathieu, I think Zach Cunningham is a perfect fit in this system. And I think he's a guy who his best football is ahead of him. He's already one of the best tacklers in the league.
I think he wanted Tyrann Mathieu. He made it clear, and I think he was sincere. But there is this factor as well. Bill O'Brien is an offensive guy. We know that. We talk about it all the time. I think there's multiple occasions where he's like, ah, we'll get another defensive guy. We'll fill in the blank.
Boy.
Kareem Jackson.
Boy,
let's go through some.
That's the one that got away.
Let's go through.
They didn't even hit him.
But
up.
What I'm saying is, if he was an offensive player and Bill O'Brien liked him just as much, the question is, would he be signed? Let's go through the list. Kareem Jackson on the defensive side could have had him, right? He wanted to be here. Obviously, DJ Reader could have had him. Let him go. You just mentioned Tyrann Mathieu could have had him. Let him go.
Clowney.
You know, I don't know, maybe you could have had him, maybe not, but you let him go and you wanted him out, right? It just seems he's a little more inclined to say, kind of wave his hand, we'll be all right, we'll get another guy
in there.
Just
follow the resources. Just follow the resources and just look at it. Just look at and I don't know if it's clouded judgment or not, but you're absolutely right. I do wonder if a guy like DJ Reader
did the equivalent on offense what DJ Reader meant to this defense. And the only thing they were good at was run stopping. You think he would 100% be here?
They tried to sign Carlos Hyde. I mean, and I know he had a 1,000-yard year, but he wasn't exactly a Pro Bowler. I mean, he was really good season. I mean, if it's somebody that can help Bill O'Brien's offense, I know this might be a little unfair. I'm just telling you what I think. I think he's more inclined to err to the side of offense than defense.
Well, just look at the resources.
And the proof is in the pudding, so to speak.
The proof is in the resources. Yeah. You've invested basically 3 first-rounders, 3 second-rounders, and a lot of money on the offensive line. You're paying 2 of the top 12 highest-paid running backs in the NFL. The receiver position, I think they're top 6, last mm-hmm. I checked, in money invested at the receiver position. You've signed Fells to the one-year extension. You've used draft picks on the other 2 tight ends.
A.J. Boye.
You let A.J. Boye go. It mm-hmm. does seem like the offense gets priority. Kahale Waring was a third-round pick. The resources go on the offensive side of the rock when it comes to Bill O'Brien. And the problem with that, and the problem here is, number one, eventually it catches up to you and you have the worst defense, one of the worst defenses in the league last year, dead last in red zone defense, dead last in third down defense.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, if you're not a great offensive coach and you're not maximizing the resources that you're dedicating to your offense, then you find a situation where you have to invest more. Like there are some offensive minds where they can say, all right, we'll let that guy go. Don't worry about it. We can fill it in and we're not going to miss a beat.
And that's confidence in your system, right? But I think he just, you know, when push comes to shove, he wants to keep those offensive guys much more than he would want to keep the defensive guys.
He needs to focus on the defense. Here is King Bill before practice today talking about Zach Cunningham, who I think should be his top priority. Let's hear from the man himself, the man that's going to make that decision. Bill, please tell me you're not going to let Zach Cunningham go.
Yeah, no, we want Zach on our team. We want Zach to be a Texan for a long time, no doubt about it. He's just a really good player. He's very instinctive. He's got good speed. He can do a lot of different things within our scheme. Plays on special teams. He's on the punt team. Really good guy. You know, same guy every day. We think that it'd be great if he was with us for a long time.
There we go. So he wants him. He's making it very clear that he wants Zach Cunningham. That's encouraging.
Get it done. I think you can get it done today.
Encouraging. Yeah. It's very encouraging. Speaking of the devil, and we're going to have a little think tank in a minute, 713-572-4610. Let's load them up. There's a lot going on in H-Town Sports, a lot of thoughts roaming around here. Start your statement with I think that. Let's go hear from Zach Cunningham, previously mentioned leading tackler for the Houston Texans, leading tackler in the AFC, one of the young stars on this team. Let's hear from Zach Cunningham straight off the practice field here on Sports Radio 610.
Hey, Zach, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. A couple questions. First, on Bill O'Brien, what did you think of him doing push-ups? What did you think of him doing a couple of them one-handed? And why did he have to do them?
I forget why. I think he messed up the alignment where we were supposed to be lined up on the field. But, we try to hold everybody accountable. So that's basically what he was doing right there, holding himself accountable.
What did you think about him doing a couple of them one-handed?
I was surprised. I was shocked by that. I didn't think he had.
Zach, when you look at your career so far, what you've been able to achieve, how do you feel about how things have gone so far since they drafted you out of Vanderbilt? And what are some things you'd like to get even better at and make some progress at this season? Thank you.
I definitely think, if I could go back and watch film, there's a lot of plays I left out there that I could have made. So I definitely feel like there's more plays I could have made. And pass coverage, also in the run game. So that's the things I'm working on improving for this season.
Zach, getting back to the contract stuff, is that easier said than done to put that out of your mind because it's such a big deal from a business point of view, strictly push it to the side and not think about it?
Being the person that I am is pretty easy for me. I'm pretty low-key anyway. I keep a lot of stuff out of my head and just focus on what I have right in front of me.
Hey, Zach, I mean, I know you're on the other side of the ball, but many football teams are led by the quarterback and their destiny is determined by what he can deliver. What do you see from interacting with Deshaun Watson and just how he handles being the leader of this team?
Yeah, I definitely think he has stepped up tremendously in that role as a team leader. And, you know, playing on the other side of the ball, you can see how he's improving in his game, the things he's able to see, pick apart from the defense. you know, making checks and stuff like that. So I've definitely seen a huge step up in that degree.
Right. And when you look at a guy like him, do you certainly see that he can take the team as far as you guys want to go?
No, he's awful.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
What if he was just like, nah, I don't think so. He didn't quite have it.
Yeah.
What if he was like, nah, Deshaun, he doesn't really quite have it. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. It is the In the Loop Think Tank weekend edition. Start your statement with I think that. Don't ask us how we're doing. Why, John?
Because we are fine and dandy.
Fine and dandy.
Football and nobody Friday. Cares.
Lots of stuff going on. I think this is one of the most intriguing weeks, week-ish, in Houston sports. You're going to get your first taste of, for many people, the best player in baseball, maybe the face of baseball for the next 10, 15 years. We know about Mike Trout, but Fernando Tatis Jr., if you haven't seen him play, one of the most exciting players. The Astros are going to face them tonight. The Astros are playing some really good baseball. Mm-hmm. They've won 8 straight games. The Rockets could be facing LeBron James for the first time ever, and it'll probably be the only time ever.
In the postseason.
In the postseason. Yeah. And the Texans are 20 days away from the most anticipated season opener, maybe in franchise history, definitely in NFL history, because we didn't know this was coming.
Yeah, probably since the Cowboys game, right? The original first ever Cowboys Texans game. This is considering you're playing the Super Bowl champions, the defending Super Bowl champions. That I don't think that's that big of a stretch. But regardless, with where you are right now, it's an exciting time, man. It's been a real exciting time to be a fan here.
What do you remember about that Cowboys game?
I remember two things. I think I've said the second part when I got into the Texans locker room. And by the way, you can load up the phone, 713-572-4610. That music you hear is, in fact, a think tank that we're going to have in just a moment. Obviously, one of them was very self-serving because the first ever Houston Texans touchdown, I predicted that week.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was, in fact, the tight end that made it. I'm trying to draw a blank.
Billy Miller.
I predicted it that week because he'd had a good training camp, and he, in fact, caught it. Second thing was in the locker room afterward. I mean, keep in mind, this is the Houston Texans in their first ever game. The locker room was like a Super Bowl winning. I mean, there was stuff being thrown.
Oh, wow.
People, you know, shirts and people, you know, shaking Coke cans and Gatorade.
What are you doing right now with that
motion?
Yeah.
Right,
what is that? What is
just
that
doing that?
Right,
they're shaking it just like that.
All right.
And spraying it everywhere.
That. Yeah, okay.
You want to spray it on you? They did. But
this is getting weird.
The D stiffened.
This is getting weird.
And then the Texans' defensive backs were just destroying. Was it Carter, quarterback?
Quincy Carter.
For the, yeah. Just destroying him.
He was probably coked out. He probably didn't feel it.
Tell Quincy he just got beat by Baylor. Because that's when Baylor stunk.
Oh, okay.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Because the Cowboys and Texans had a big fight in their inter-squad practice that week.
Okay.
And Texans got worked, and the Cowboys were talking a bunch of noise. And they just got beat by Baylor.
713-572-4610 to get in. Start your statement with I think that. You're on the think tank. Go.
Yeah, I think at this injury rate, the Astros will have to win the World Series with 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Early Christmas for Ocho.
You're on the think tank. Go. Go.
I think as Loophole Nation under 610 and sports fans for all, it's time to go Marvin Zindler on these soggy fries. Man, we got to put a stop to this. No more victims. Can we call them out on the text line?
Okay.
Soggy fries?
Soggy fries?
Is that what he's saying?
Is that what he got?
Yeah, I guess he got soggy fries. There's nothing worse.
Yeah, nothing worse. Nothing better than good French fries. Nothing worse than bad French fries. You're on the think tank. Go.
Landlocked, this is your boy Nick M from H-Town.
What up, man?
I think the Rock is going to win it all. Darren Moore is going to take the podium and yell, free Hong Kong. Shout out Gibson, J-Lo.
Shout out Gibson. How about that?
What if Daryl Morey did that?
Oh, that'd be so good.
It's a trick question.
He'd be fired on the spot for Tita, right?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. Was it saying that?
Yeah.
On the spot. He wouldn't even get a ring.
The NBA would be in trouble.
Yeah, well, they already are. They already are. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in.
Don't you see Daryl kind of going out guns blazing, though?
Oh, 100%.
Don't you think, like, do you really think that when Maury's ready to go that he's just going to quietly go?
Yeah, absolutely. He's very outspoken, first of all. He's very active on social media.
He's been called out unsolicited 3 times.
Yeah. By his owner.
For saying it.
Yeah.
I could just see Maury just going on a complete Twitter tirade.
He'll be burning bridges, man. He'll bring out the Uzi and just start peppering for Tito.
Did you see Justin Verlander's brother yesterday get into it with Trevor Bauer?
Yeah, I didn't. Is it Jeff or something like
that? Ben Verlander?
Ben, yeah, Ben.
I guess he played some minor league baseball. Mm-hmm. Do you think Justin Verlander wants his brother doing that?
Nah, I don't think
I think there's two theories. Mm-hmm. Number one, I think it's bad for Justin Verlander's brand for his brother to be going back and forth with Trevor Bauer about Astros cheating. Because yeah. I think of all the people that have been shamed, I think the pitchers have relatively gotten off easy. And let's be honest, they weren't the ones that were banging on the trash can. They were pitchers.
Right.
So Justin Verlander was doing his thing. Unless Justin Verlander is kind of using his brother as a ghostwriter and he's getting his thoughts out
Could
there
be.
And he likes
Could
it, then I understand it. But I think if that's not the case, I don't want to tell another dude to shut up or anything. But I don't think it's good for – unless this is what Justin Verlander wants out, I don't think it's a good look for his brother to be sticking his chest out talking about the cheating scandal, because I think it brings unnecessary attention to Justin Verlander that he has avoided.
Right. The only problem the Verlander and pitchers had was complicity. You know, they didn't say anything, you know, or they didn't stop it. And that makes them – obviously makes them complicit. But they are otherwise, I mean, they're not getting nearly the brunt of the punishment or whatever, venom.
Yeah, it just seems, it doesn't seem like something that benefits Justin Verlander, but that's something that his brother does. 713-572-4610 on the text line, 9596 says, I think I'm a slime ball for being happy that Josh James got hurt yesterday. Yeah, you might be.
Yeah.
You might be a little bit of a slime ball, but man, he's bad.
He's awful.
Pulled that groin yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, it's not an injury that's going to – I mean, it is an injury that's going to linger a little bit. I think Bregman's is going to linger, obviously.
Yeah, Bregman got his MRI. We should hear from more on that a little bit later from Dusty Baker. Astros in San Diego tonight, 8:10 first pitch, postgame. Here on Sports Radio 610. How about the Astros, though? 8 straight wins. And you saw who hit a homer yesterday. Toro with the bomb.
It was a big one. Isn't that the one that got him the 10th?
That's where stuff just started hitting the fan. Kyle Tucker doing his thing. Another triple.
Did you understand my tweet after that home run?
Did not.
I tweeted a bullfighter with the cape.
Did not.
Because that's what you say in Spanish. That's what the bullfighters say. Toro.
Didn't get it.
Toro.
No, I didn't see that.
Are you ready for 2 hurricanes at the same time?
No.
Y'all see this?
No.
2 hurricanes simultaneously in the Gulf of Mexico heading this way. Not necessarily to Houston. I don't mean to say that.
Lord.
Because we don't know. I mean, maybe, but we don't know exactly.
Jeez, scared now.
Until they hit the Gulf, you don't know exactly. They could go toward us. They could go south. They could go north. But that's never happened. Of course, in 2020, it happens. 2 simultaneous hurricanes in the same Gulf coming in our direction, I should say.
Not good.
Yeah, you might want to.
Nah, I'm going to call my grandma.
Definitely not good, to say the very
that
least.
That was perfect.
You're on the think
mommy.
Tank. Go.
Hey, Zupor.
Go.
Go.
Or not.
Marahucci Friday. It is what it is. It's a little think tank and a visit with Zach Cunningham here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. 20 days away from the Texans season opener. They will not be facing one of the greatest of all time. However, we will hear from him. We're also going to hear from Chris Ballard. Chris Ballard with some intense words about in regards to his Indianapolis Colts team around the league next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.